RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
All right, time to talk public service neutrality with Todd Stevenson, New Zealand lawyer, politician, representing ACT New Zealand, member of parliament since last year. He's worked mainly in the pharmaceutical industry up till then. Was founder of the J&J Open and Out Employee Resource Network in Australia, aiming to make sure company policies use language that reflects a diverse workforce. He's also the spokesperson for the public service for ACT, along with Justice, Finance, Health, Tourism, and Arts and Culture. And Todd joins us today to talk about neutrality in the workplace, the public service workplace, police hate speech training. I'll ask him about that. And also the treaty principles, what sort of incomings have ACT had as they go through that process. So Todd Stevenson joins us right now on RCR. Morning, Todd.
Hi, Paul, and thanks for having me again.
All right. Public sector neutrality, definitely an issue, right?
Absolutely. Yes, you've probably followed that I've been on the case about this. And the reason, Paul, is that I've actually have public servants reaching out to me probably on a weekly basis, just raising issues about what's happening in their workplaces.
What have they been saying, Todd? Can you share the general kind of gist of what you've heard?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, some of them relate to specific incidents. So, for example, we had a nurse in Health New Zealand sending out a whole lot of information to her colleagues or forwarding on a whole lot of information to her colleagues against the Treaty Principles Bill, which, as you probably be aware, ACT has proposed but actually hasn't been published yet. That was one incident. Another health-related one was someone attending a cultural workshop day where, again, some misinformation about ACT's policies were spread. And in fact, this person went on to say they didn't actually find any value in the day. And then just general examples, again, around where I suppose some sexist practices have been carried out. And again, this relates to some of the kind of karakia ceremonies across a number of departments. I've got to say, Paul, I think I've written to like four CEOs now just saying, look, if you're a woman working in the public service, you actually want to have the right to be able to speak, and that should actually be honoured.
How big is the job of pushing back against this lack of neutrality, Todd? Is it big or is it just in pockets? What's your assessment?
Well, as I think it is, I wouldn't say it's in pockets. As I said, I think I've written to four CEOs now just raising the issue, and I should say the acting public service commissioner. And look, there is actually quite a strong public service code, right? A code of conduct that public servants are meant to abide by. I think maybe it's just a time to make sure people are understanding their obligations. Look, and Paul, I'm a free speech advocate, so people do have the right to have views and voice them, but actually not during their work time. And if they want to go off and undertake political activities, that needs to be done completely separate from their role in the public service.
Was this bias, let's call it that, encouraged by the previous government, was it?
I think you've seen a lot of practices slip into the public service. And again, I think this comes back to what they need to be focused on, right? And we've been very clear in ACT, we want the public service actually delivering public services that New Zealanders expect, right? That's their core business. I think when you start to, take on some religious and cultural practices, which might be a little bit divorced from actually the core business of delivering for Kiwis, then I think, some of these things just get a little out of check, right? I think it's just coming back to focusing on the core business of what you're there to deliver, reminding yourself of there is actually a code of conduct you need to abide by, and one of it is around political neutrality, and just getting back to business.
We're talking about a lot of backroom people, and they're not highly visible. But the police are, and I'm just wondering if you consider hate speech training some kind of lack of public sector neutrality, or is that something different again?
Well, I think that's probably something different again, Paul. I think obviously under the last government, you had this whole discussion around trying to legislate hate speech, and of course, the incoming government's knocked that on the head. Obviously, there's a bit of an overhang, shall we say, with the police and them still looking. But again, I have raised that with the police commissioner and just, asked them to look at the appropriateness of that training and where that really does fit in a in a country like ours where we value free speech.
Yeah.
And again, you know, Paul, you know, there are some limits on free speech, as you and I know, right? You know, inciting violence, etc. But I think people are pretty clear on those limits. But, you know, going beyond that is something that we shouldn't be doing.
And I'm just thinking, because some of our audience will be thinking, with the Alania Rybushkin case, the verdict came down last week. You know, there was a standoff by police. It was pretty clear. We got on video. I've seen the video. Everyone who was there corroborates that at Albert Park. And people would be wanting to think that those days are over, you know, that there's not a two-tier system here, you know.
Well, I would hope so too, Paul. I mean, you know, I we want people to be able to peacefully protest, get their point of view, whichever side of a debate you're on, right? But what we don't want is, yeah, people being able to assault others. And also, you know, the police need to maintain some neutrality, right?
Yeah, staying with the police, don't want to get too hung up on it, but it's just current events. The case of the police visiting Nob Oddie, the guy who we've seen the video of, they turn up at his doorstep. It's not the first time because of his tweets, assuming, you know, that he might do something. I don't know, that they might think he's not fit to have firearms, given what he's said. That's a step too far, isn't it? Or would you think that that was reasonable to turn up like that? You know, he hasn't done anything, hasn't broken any law.
Yeah, well, look, Paul, I'm going to be frank, I'm not across the detail. I have seen a couple of clips on social media. Yep. And again, you can correct me if I'm wrong. It appeared, though, the police actually admitted that they weren't actually there to, you know, they weren't there to, you know, arrest him, or actually there was actually no particular criminality they were looking into. That's my understanding. You can correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not going to tell the police how to do their job, but they probably just need to think through what is the right way to approach whoever it is in our society when they're taking up a particular issue. And yeah, whatever, a phone call or, I don't know, another way of approaching be appropriate. I think they're the things that need to be thought through.
And then there was also the police report on systemic racism completed by AUT Law Dean Kylie Quince.
Mm.
Got a comment to make about that?
Well, look, again, I haven't read the report. Again, I just saw the media coverage, probably like you, Paul, and some of your listeners. Again, that appeared to be something that was started under the last government. And I just note the police minister's comments. You know, he's basically saying, look, he doesn't think there's a big issue of, you know, systemic racism within the police. Again, I think it's, you know, it's an issue that needs to be handled carefully and sensitively. But what we want is actually police officers being able to get out and doing their frontline, you know, job, right, which is catching criminals and, you know, dealing with the crime problem we've got in New Zealand.
And what is your reaction to the reaction of the Treaty Principles Bill? In the media, a lot of people have been commenting on social media. It's the end of the world, according to some people. Got any comments to make about that at the stage we're at with that?
Yeah, look, we want to have an honest, open debate. I mean, you know, ACT is putting forward a proposition, which is that we need to actually define the principles of the treaty. And what we actually say the principles are is literally just the articles of the treaty, right?
Mm, yeah.
That is going to work through a process. The bill hasn't been made public yet. It's, you know, working through a cabinet process. It'll be then introduced to Parliament. I just think I'd ask people to keep an open mind. Yeah, I do think some of the media and the discussion we're seeing is probably a bit premature and a bit already making judgments. I think, you know, keep an open mind. We'd ask New Zealanders to look at the bill once it is presented to the public and to Parliament and to have their say.
Yeah, I've seen people say it's racist, that you guys are racist for even going there. What do you say to those people?
Oh, I just say they're completely wrong. I mean, what we're talking about an act is just providing equal rights and dignity to every New Zealander. And that's really what we're talking about. There's nothing racist about that. But let's have that discussion. If, you know, if New Zealanders feel strongly that the principles of the treaty should look in a different way to what ACT puts up, well, that will be, you know, that will come out in the select committee process, you know, when people can have their say.
Okay, just to finish up, just circling back, as they say, It occurred to me, you talked about the letters that you sent out to CEOs, and you don't have to reveal exactly what's said, but what was the tone of, maybe you didn't get any responses, but any of the responses that you got back? Was the tone like, oh, yeah, I get it. We understand. All right. Thank you.
Look, I'm still waiting to hear back from many of them. Some of them have come back and, you know, acknowledged my letter and said they'll look into it. So I do think they take these things seriously. And again, Paul, what I was pointing out to them is that it's actually their employees that are coming forward to me. They don't feel comfortable raising it within the organisation, which I think is an issue they need to confront, right? And I have said to them, to the CEOs, maybe you need to think about ways that people can feel safe to raise these issues, right? Because I think people think they're going to be targeted if they say, well, you know, I don't actually want to go to, attend a karaoke every morning, or I don't, do something particular. I think some people have legitimate reasons why they, don't think that's appropriate. But it's, I think the thing I'd like to say to those CEOs is just think about, if people don't feel they're able to raise those directly and they're, coming to me, I think, there is a little bit of an issue there about the culture, right?
Todd Stevenson, Act NZ. Thanks for coming back on RCR, Todd.
Anytime, Paul. Thank you.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.